Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. We Would See Jesus. April 6, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in UL 110, VSS 325-326, 6 BC 1092-1093, 7 ABC 467. I am awakened at 12:30 p.m. My soul is burdened. I am troubled for these my brethren who have departed from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits to the peril of their souls. We sincerely hope that the experiment made by these brethren may be sufficient. During the past night, I seemed to be in an assembly, bearing a testimony to these brethren, whom I was trying to help. I was telling them that just such a work as they have begun had been begun by others, but it was at great loss to their souls and to the souls of others, for they had been entrusted by the Lord and by their brethren with the work of winning souls to Christ. Christ has given us the truth in Daniel and Revelation. In this age we can see the necessity of drawing men to Christ. This draws them to one another in that confidence, that love, that unity, for which Christ prayed in his last prayer with and for his disciples. This unity was essential for their spiritual growth. This world is a battlefield upon which the powers of good and evil are in ceaseless warfare. At the time when Christ's work bore only the appearance of cruel defeat, when to the disciples the case seemed hopeless, certain Greeks came to the disciples, saying, "We would see Jesus." John 12, verse 21. This inquiry showed Christ, who was then standing in the shadow of the cross, that the sacrificial offering of himself would bring all who believe into perfect harmony with God. By making this propitiation of man's sins, Christ's kingdom would be perfected and extended throughout the world. He would work as the restorer. His spirit would prevail everywhere. None of the people, not even the disciples, understood the nature of Christ's kingdom. They seemed to be unable to believe that Jesus would not sit on David's throne, that he would not take the scepter and reign as a temporal prince in Jerusalem, before his ancients gloriously. Christ gave them lessons which they could in no wise comprehend. But after his crucifixion, Jew and Greek, barbarian and Scythian, bond and free, would be able to have a clear comprehension of his work and of the words which upon this occasion he addressed to them. "The hour is come," he said, "that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." Verses 23-24. Christ heard the eager, hungering cry, "We would see Jesus." Verse 21. These Greeks represented the nations and tribes and peoples who would awake to their great need of a power out of and above finite power. For a moment Christ looked into futurity and heard the voices proclaiming in all places of the earth, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John 1, verse 29. This anticipation, the consummation of his hopes, is expressed in his words, "The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified." John 12, verse 23. But the way and manner that this glorifying was to take place was never absent from Christ's mind. Only by his death could the world be saved. As the grain of wheat, the Son of Man must be cast into the earth and die and be buried out of sight. But he was to live again. Every harvest, this lesson of the grain of wheat is repeated. Those who till the soil have the illustration of Christ's words ever before them. The seed buried in the ground produces much fruit, and in their turn the seeds of this fruit are planted. Thus the harvest is multiplied. The harvest of the cross of Calvary will bear fruit unto eternal life. And the contemplation of this will be the glory of those who will live through eternal ages. With this lesson, Christ connects the self-sacrifice we must practice. "He that loveth his life shall lose it," he declared, "and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Verses 25-26. This is the only honor we must seek, and we must seek it with a determination and earnestness proportionate to the value of the treasure we have in view, eternal life in the kingdom of God. He who loves his temporal life so well that he will scheme for himself, devise for himself, and work upon worldly plans and human methods, will find at last that he is bankrupt, without the eternal riches. But he that hates his life, he that will choose death rather than life without Christ, will win life eternal. Now is my soul troubled, said Christ, stirred to its very depths. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? This is the cry of the humanity of Christ, as he contemplated the future. He was about to enter upon the hour of his humiliation, but glory was to come out of his humiliation. Life was to be given to man through his death. Life and immortality were to be brought to light through his soul anguish. The severity of the coming conflict and trial was veiled to the disciples. Christ saw the view they took of his work, and he knew that telling them now of the trial before him, of his suffering and death, would not give them satisfactory light. It would not correct their views in regard to his mission. He could not open before them all that must come upon him. While in the presence of his disciples, Christ seemed to them as one who saw things afar, things which were unseen to them. A faint glimpse of his anguish of soul is given in the words spoken by him after the inquiry made by the Greeks. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. These words were spoken in anticipation of the future. In anticipation, he was already drinking the cup of bitterness. His humanity shrunk from this hour of abandonment, to all appearances, even by God, when all would see him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. Here we behold a foretaste of the anguish in Gethsemane. We see the humanity of Christ shrinking from public exposure, from being treated as the worst of criminals, from a shameful and dishonored death. In order to reveal the hearts of humanity, this great sacrifice was made. Then comes divine submission to God's will. For this cause, he added, came I into this world. Father, glorify thy name. A cloud seemed to enwrap the Son of God, and there came a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again. Christ's life, from the manger to the time when he spoke these words, had glorified God, and his future human and divine sufferings would glorify his Father's name. Some present, beholding the revelation of God, said that thundered. Others, the Greek inquirers and the disciples, catching the words of the voice, said, An angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, The voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he should die. This is the crisis of the world. If I become the propitiation for the world, it will be lighted up. The defaced image of God will be reproduced and restored, and a family of believing saints will finally inhabit the heavenly home. This is the result of the crucifixion of Christ and the restoration of the world. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. The question is asked, why then are not all drawn to Christ? It is because they do not choose to die to self, because they wish, as did Judas, to retain their own individuality, their own natural and cultivated traits of character. Although they are given every opportunity and privilege, they do not desire to give up those traits of character which, if not cut away from the character, will separate them from Christ. If, continuing to cherish these traits of character, they were admitted to heaven, they would create a second apostasy. God has graciously given man a probation, to see if they will, through Christ, obtain that power that will constitute them sons of God. Many people were round about Christ as he spoke these words, and one said, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. This is verily true in the case of the two brethren in Adelaide. God gave them light, but by confederating together, they were walking away from the light. These words of Christ come to us sounding down the line to our time. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of the light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. A conspiracy for the purpose of putting him to death has already been formed. The Jews wished to provoke a controversy with him there and then. Notice the power of unbelief. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. Christ had worked many miracles before the Jews. As an evidence of his true mission as the Son of God, he had just performed a most wonderful miracle. Lazarus had been raised from the dead. But the men who witnessed this miracle had set their hearts against believing in him. Nothing would affect the darkness that encompassed them. Though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him. That the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory in prophetic vision, and spake of him. Verses 37 to 41. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Verses 42-43. They had not moral power to separate from those who did not receive Christ, who were denying and crucifying him. They loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Today, Jesus reads hearts and knows the sentiments of every soul. At the very close of this earth's history, his voice is speaking to us. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Verses 44 to 46. These words present our individual need of coming to the light and keeping in the channel of light. The present truth, the special message given to our world, even the third angel's message, comprehends a vast field containing heavenly treasures. No one can be excusable who says, I will no longer have anything to do with these special messages. I will preach Christ. No one can preach Christ and present the truth as it is in Jesus, unless he presents the truths that are to come before the people at the present time, when such important developments are taking place. It is essential that we are careful, attentive students of the prophecies of the Old and New Testaments. John was banished to the Isle of Patmos. He writes, First John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Revelation 1, verse 9 to 11. Read and become faithful students of the prophecies of Daniel and Revelation. The revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Again this is repeated, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he which receiveth it. Revelation 1, verse 1-3, 2:11-17. There is a special experience to be obtained, which men cannot understand, though it be oft repeated to them. Christ has warned us, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. If any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Matthew 24, verse 4, 5, 23, 24. After foretelling what will be the last days, Christ puts us on our guard. Watch therefore, he says, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord when he cometh shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looked not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall out him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Verses 42:44-51. It becomes every one to understand the Word of God. Men may present the theories of the truth, but unless they apply themselves to understand the truth, digging for it as for hid treasure, unless by earnest research, under the discipline of the Holy Spirit, they understand the truth for themselves, it can never save them. When the students of prophecy shall set their hearts to know the truths of Revelation, they will realize what an importance is attached to this search. Christ Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the Genesis of the Old Testament and the Revelation of the New. Both meet together in Christ. Adam and God are reconciled by the obedience of the second Adam, who accomplished the work of overcoming the temptations of Satan and redeeming Adam's disgraceful failure and fall. The two Adams will meet in paradise and embrace each other, while the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet, and all who have refused the opportunities and privileges given to them at such an infinite cost and have not returned to their loyalty, will be shut out of paradise. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Upon such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verse 4-6. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 21, verse 3 to 6. And, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and many enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs, and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 12 to 17.